Hey guys, welcome back to another Dogbone podcast. This is an episode that admittedly I've been pretty excited to record. It's something that I got an email, looked back on an old email to figure out when did this thing really start that I'm going to talk about. And it was just over 3 years ago, almost it was 3 years and 2 months at this point that this whole thing started. And it's been a challenge, a much slower process than what I probably had anticipated and maybe hoped for in the beginning, but I do think it was worth it. And I'm real excited to kind of share more with you on it. Some of it is something that we were able to kind of conclude or get to the finish line here about a year ago. But the second part of it, which I do think is an important part of it, we just finally saw the end of that, the light at the end of that tunnel, and we're out of that tunnel. So I'm pretty excited to bring you some news. It's something we've been working on pretty hard. Some people within our circle kind of already know about it. Several people within our circle have helped us to develop it through testing and giving feedback. And I'm going to kind of share the backstory of it today and explain why I am as proud of it as I am and why I think it's as important as I do think it is. So, and also it's funny how timing seems to work out, because I don't know if I knew exactly the value or importance of this to the degree that I feel like I do right now, and I am not an expert, so I'm putting that out there right now. I'm not going to be able to talk to you like I'm a veterinarian, because I'm not a scientist. I'm not a biologist. Just a observant dog owner, and obviously a sporting dog owner. So I'll get right into like the part of the reason I think timing is important with this stuff is me personally, I've gone through some things that have opened my eyes to the importance of it. And it's general health stuff. It's overall general health things with our dogs. And so my story is there's going to be some personal parts to it that for me, I think that's where it starts to make sense. And everyone will have their own understanding or maybe misunderstanding or non-existent understanding, because I didn't have it until I went through some of the things that I've gone through more recently. So backing up about a year, it was last spring, late spring, early summer, I started feeling really sick, and like to the point where I thought something was pretty seriously wrong with me. I had no energy. I just ached. I just did not feel good. And it wasn't one specific thing. It was multiple symptoms. It was knees and ankles and back and everything. And, historically I'm not the greatest, athlete as far as conditioning and shape, but I'm also like pretty fair. I don't think I'm super out of shape either. I do go through my own personal little struggles where wintertime after hunting season, I tend to gain weight. I always call it my winter weight. I'm 10 pounds heavy, always after hunting season, and it goes on, I put it on pretty quickly. I like food. I enjoy food. I eat when I'm stressed. I eat when I'm happy. I eat a lot, and I need to do a good job. And the only way I've been able to maintain it is like increasing my activity levels. And there are certain times of the year that happens very, very naturally and very easily for me. And then there are times that aren't. So last spring, I was coming out of winter and I probably wasn't in the best shape, but I became more active as the weather got better. And that's usually a time where I start to kind of ramp up and start feeling better about things, and it's nicer out and all that, all those things that make it easier to do. And I started to feel really, really, it was really hard for me to do those things. And I have a pretty good friend of mine, and one day he just asked me, "How you doing?" And I hadn't seen him in a while. And I said, "To be honest with you, I feel like shit. I couldn't keep my eyes open when I was trying to play games with my kids. I'd be dozing off when I was driving in my truck. I was just not feeling good, to the point where I knew something was wrong." And he said something to me about, well, would you get tested for Lyme's disease? And I thought, God, how did I not think of that? And I had been bit by ticks in the spring. I actually went to a Minnesota woodcock banding class, and I got bit by several ticks that weekend. And this was about 30 days later. And so I was like, so it was in like May. And I was thinking to myself, I've never been tested for that. But I've been bit by a lot of ticks before. So long story short, I really felt, man, I probably have Lyme's disease. So I put up with it for a little while. And finally, I just went to the doctor. And when I went to the doctor, it became very clear that I don't go to the doctor very often. They didn't have any records of me. Like, I hadn't been to the doctor in like, last thing they could find from me was like 15 years ago. And I don't know how they dug it up, but they dug it up somehow. And I had had a back surgery, and it was way back then. And so I just don't go to a doctor very often. And they started over with like all sorts of checkups and ran me through a bunch of tests. And I explained to them my concern with Lyme's disease. And we tested for that, did all sorts of blood draws, did all sorts of stuff. And thankfully, I think the results came back that you don't have Lyme's. So, but then it was a little concerning because, well, then what do you have? Because you got something wrong. Well, of all the tests that they came back, they eliminated some of the major scary ones. Obviously, the ones that were kind of making me freak out a little bit. They didn't have any signs of major issues. So one thing that they did find was I had a severe vitamin D deficiency. And so they gave me a pill, and I took that pill for the 30 days that they gave it to me for. And it wasn't super convenient. It was once a week, and I'm not real good at taking medicine. So I ended up at that point, I think it was that, but it also was like there was a lot of stress in my life, and I was dealing with, and I had some long conversations with some people about some of the stuff that was going on in work world, family world. It was a pretty relatively high amount of stress. And I don't know if I would say it was more or less, but apparently I wasn't handling it that well. And I think a lot of the issues and the conditions and symptoms that I was facing were somewhat connected to that. Now, that's hindsight looking back on it. But at that point was an early point for me to say, boy, I got to take better care of myself. And not only like mental health stuff, but physical health stuff and all the above. It's not one or the other. And so I went to, and I started buying vitamins. And so I just go to like Walmart and I actually order them now, but it's just this generic brand called VitaFusion. And I was taking a vitamin C, I was taking a vitamin D3, and I was taking a men's multivitamin. And I've been taking them religiously since. And I like to eat a lot, but I don't necessarily always eat the best things. And so this really helps because it opened up my mind to try to eat healthier, try to eat a little bit less. This was just like a kind of a scary moment and a reminder to me. But it also got me into taking these supplements, these vitamins. And they're pretty good. These ones that I take taste pretty good. That helps. They're basically like a fruit chew or whatever. It tastes like a kid's fruit snack. But it's providing me with the stuff that I'm not necessarily getting in my diet. And I don't eat a lot of fruit, and I don't eat as much vegetables as I should. And so, but I also feel like, so I'm getting it there, but I'm also trying to eat better. Okay. That's one thing. I started feeling better. I also think it was partly recognizing this, this stress thing. And I worked through some of that stuff and I went, okay, I'm going to control what I can control. And this isn't a motivational speech. So I figure out whatever you got to figure out, but just know that, like, I, along with most people, go through some pretty stressful things. I actually talked with some people about it. I don't know that I wear that as a real badge of honor, but I also feel like that was uncomfortable for me, and it helped me really understand some of the things that I was probably going through at that time. So that was good. So health, you got to take care. I had to take care of myself, and I think you got to take care of yourself. So everybody does. But what I realized was how important some simple things are, okay? And so when I start relating it back to some of my dog stuff, now, we've had fish oil. Fish oil is a product that we've been selling for a little over a year now. And I found, like, I didn't always give my dogs fish oil. Now, I do think, like, a really good food is important. That's my equivalency to eating better. And so feeding dogs. And I just did a podcast more recently, and I was just this last weekend down at Pheasant Fest, and I was in the Yukonuba booth. And I did a podcast about feeding Yukonuba because I have an interesting story with that. And you can listen to that podcast. I won't go through it right now, but I switched my dog, one of my dogs, over to it for a specific reason. I ended up switching all of my dogs over to it for a specific reason. And it's because I feel like I'm getting a better balance of the nutrients that they need. It's cost me more. It's more expensive. So I'm not going to, I don't think that just because it costs more, it's better. I think it matters what's in it. But I looked at the big picture with my dogs, and I have come to a realization that the extra amount of money that, and I only feed 5 or 6 dogs a year, so I'm not feeding a ton of them, but the amount that it costs me more per year from what I was feeding in comparison to what I think is better results, the value is there. Because I spend more on a lot of other stuff that doesn't necessarily bring me the value that I feel a really high quality food is. And I'm not going to stand on a box here and preach feed Yukonuba, but I am going to say feed what works best for your dog. And I'm not going to make a decision based on what in big picture terms is not a lot of money. Like if I'm spending a couple thousand, I think when I ran the numbers on it, I'm spending a few thousand dollars a year on food. I'm going to spend it's not quite half that, but it's 30% more. This is switching to Yukonuba is costing me about 30% more than what I was spending. It's not huge money. It's under $1,000. It's, you know, it maybe is around that $1,000 mark, but that's really not that much in the big picture. And what I've realized that I'm gaining, well, first off, I gained a ton with Makina in particular with it, because she eats it really well. She gained a lot of weight with it. She held that weight. So the food I think is important, but I also started adding more to it, because I think the best food out there, name whatever brand it is, I don't know that all of them can provide everything that every dog needs. On average, there are some that can provide probably for certain dogs, but at certain points in our dog's lives, I do think that we should, for the to give them the best quality of life and to, you know, give them what they need, I do think there's additional stuff that you can do to help them out. Fish oil, I think, is one of those. And so I know some people that I really respect and trust in the dog world, and they've been on fish oil forever. And so when we came out with fish oil, some of these guys didn't even know about it. And I had asked them, reached out to them, hey, do you use oil, fish oil? Oh, and a couple of them were, yeah, absolutely, every dog. I put every dog on it. You know, I explained to them what we had. I think that we have some advantages to ours with some of the just like simple things like the amount, the quantity that we sell it in. It allows us to have a pretty aggressive price point on it and a real competitive price point. It's not the cheapest. It's certainly not the most expensive, but I think it's one of the highest qualities. And we have it third-party tested, and the partner that we're working with, they specialize in it, and we explained to them what our needs were. We want really high quality. And so that we were able to accomplish. The second thing that I'm pretty excited about having right now is something that I have been, like I said, this is going on the fourth year, but I've had dogs on it now for that whole time. I also had periods of time in there where I did not have my dogs on it because we simply could not get it, which was real frustrating. But it's a product that we initially started out with because they reached out to us because we have mutual connections and people in our space that said, hey, they had this product that they wanted to take to market. They wanted to focus on hunting dogs and sporting dogs. And our mutual friend said, here's someone that I would reach out to. And it was myself with our company. And so we had some conversations with them, and they explained to me what they had. And what it was it's a type 2 native collagen, which collagen is kind of a buzzword. So I learned a lot about this over the last couple of years, but collagen is kind of a buzzword. My wife takes collagen peptides. I know a lot of people that do. This is a type 2 native collagen, which is different, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But then what it was collagen, and it was Antarctic krill, pure Antarctic krill. And it was a company over in Norway that has a patented process where they remove shells from the krill, which is basically a shrimp. They remove the shells, which contain fluoride, and it leaves them with pure krill meat, raw krill meat. And so they've got this, and that process that they do it in is a patented process. So they have worked with this company. The company that we're working with is out of Canada, and they've married us up, combined these products or these ingredients, combined with us, and they brought it to us and said, what do you think? And I said, well, I'm interested in hearing about it and learning more. Well, that's where we started talking about some studies that have been done. One of them in particular that was really interesting to me was a study that was done on pigs, on swine. It was tested. The use of collagen, this type 2 native collagen, was used with a large pig producing outfit. They gave certain numbers of pigs, the female pigs, this collagen in measurable amounts. And what they were testing was effects on the litters of piglets. So what they found was size of litters went up slightly, but size of piglets within the litters went up pretty significant. And what they relay that back to, or connect that back to, is the idea that, see, when you do mass production pigs, it's a quantity game. So this is not a viable thing. Like, this is not something that was cost effective for pig producers to provide to their pigs, because they're down to like the pennies on what they put in, their inputs versus their return on it. And so what was interesting to me on the study was, so it didn't make sense for them to do it because they weren't getting enough results to, they weren't getting more piglets and they weren't getting bigger piglets, healthier piglets that produced better enough to offset the costs. But what was interesting to me was there is a lot of similarities in the whelping processes between litters of piglets and litters of puppies. And what's really important is when it comes to the health and the size and all that stuff is the mother's health and what this takes from her system each time they have a litter. In pigs, they breed every heat cycle. So I'm not necessarily breeding our females every heat cycle. My dogs that we breed, and this was an interesting thing, because in this time frame, 3-4 years ago, we were having a few litters, a few of our first litters of our own second and third generations of dogs that we had previously kind of partnered with from a breeding standpoint. So I had all the eggs in my basket, and I was really able to study this and pay attention to it. And one of the things that I found was when we bred our females and we had them on this collagen krill, there's something that you oftentimes see after they're done weaning, and they whelp, they wean, their pups are on solid food. It's really taxing on a mom. And so what a lot of times you'll see is you'll see effects of it exterior, their coats. It almost looks like they have hot spots. It almost looks like they have the mange. I've seen some mama dogs that just looked really, really rough. And I thought, man, that doesn't look good. And it was always explained to me, well, it's a very stressful thing, you know, the process of these litters. Well, that's true. So what ends up happening is when these mama dogs have their litters, they actually like urinate out collagen. So now I'll back up and I'll explain a little bit about this collagen stuff. So collagen is something that our bodies naturally produce. Animals do it, we do it. It helps with lots of things within the body. But what it really does is, and some of those are related to joints, some of those are related to muscles, some of those are related to bone development, some of those are related to exterior things like skin, nail, and hair. That's skin, nails, and hair. That's really easy stuff for us to see. But the idea of that is when your body produces it itself, but it also uses it up. And there's a certain point our body uses it more than it produces. And when you have that happen, your body uses it more than it can produce, you start to see like aging effects. So that's when you start to see a lot of times in women, you'll hear them taking these peptides, and it's if you ask them why, skin, but it's wrinkles. They say that it will help with wrinkles. Well, wrinkles are an aging effect. There's just a variety of reasons why we use it. I'm going to say cosmetically, but when you look at collagen, there's different types of collagen, and collagen is what we're using is called a type 2 native collagen. And this is where it gets a little bit techy, and I really don't know enough to, I can explain it, but I don't know that necessarily that I know it true, like science wise, veterinarian wise, but it's all in the makeup of the chain. So it's a molecule, and broken molecule chains of collagen are peptides. This is type 2 native, which is unbroken. So there's, I think, three strands that are consistent. What the importance of that is it changes how the body uses it. So when you give them type 2 native collagen, it's an oral. Like I used to use it as a powder that I would put on top of their food, and we'll get into that in a second. But what it does is, in the shape or form that it is, type 2 native, that's the important part, is it's able to get through their stomach. The stomach acid doesn't break it down, and it's not absorbed into the body that way. Instead, it gets through the stomach, it gets into internal organs, kidneys, and it is spread out through the blood, which allows it to get to affected areas differently. And so I'm going to oversimplify this and say this type 2 native collagen helps fight inflammation. And so inflammation is irritation. That's where pain comes from. Now we circle back. Now that leads me to all that stuff sounded really good back in the day. And so when I put dogs on it, I had Taylor, who at the time was 7. And when I put her on it, I felt like I at 7 years old, I'm not going to say she was hurting because my dogs are pretty healthy. And so I had 7, a 6, and a 5 at the time. I had a Spry, an Ellie, and a Taylor, and they were in that age bracket. But I did notice at 7 years old, after hunting Taylor hard for a weekend, I noticed, like, and I told Steph, I said, she's kind of slowing down a little bit. And when I say slowing down, it wasn't like she was limping. It wasn't like she was achy. It wasn't like she, but at the end of 3 hard days of hunting, I saw the effects of it. She was maybe a little stiffer, maybe a little less energetic. It taxed her a little bit more, and it was to the point where it was noticeable. Okay, I put her on this stuff, and the following year I hunted her, so she was a full year later, and I told Steph, I can't believe how I described it as like puppy like. She just had really a lot more energy. She seemed a lot more happy, and that's a very non-clinical term, but I felt like her level of happiness and comfort was much, much greater. That was really eye-opening to me. At the same time, through that window, we had bred Ellie and we had bred Spry and we had puppies. And we had coats that looked really good on our dogs and everything looked really good on them. And I never saw it change through those litters. And so now there's 2 things that I'm seeing with my personal dogs. Now, at the same time, I'm giving this to some people to try. And at that time, it was it came in a little pouch and had a little scoop and you had to put it on food. And I sent it to quite a few people, wanted to get their feedback on it. And one of the things that I got back from everyone was, it's really inconvenient. And I agreed. It was a little messy. I didn't like the distribution, how we actually gave it to the dogs. So right away we decided, with constant communication with these folks, I said, I think we got to change. We don't want to have it be a powder. I don't want it to be a scoop. I'd really like to have it be a dose of like a chewable. So, okay, so we can work on that. So we on to that. That's not my world. That was their world. And they started working on that for me. But at the same time, I was using the same ingredients and looking for more stuff, more feedback. And some of the stories I heard were really, really interesting. I had a person that came to a workshop that had a 13-year-old dog at home, a setter. We talked This was a couple years ago. We talked about it, and I just asked her at the end of the workshop, got to know her enough, and I felt really comfortable, and I said, hey, I've got something that I've been working on. I'd like to give it to you. The dog had really bad shaky legs. It had, when it would go out to pee, it would just shake almost uncontrollably. It just had real weaknesses in its joints and muscles, but it was 13 years old. And so I said, I'd like to give you this and try it. Just let me know what you think. She says, okay. So she brought the dog home. 2 weeks later, I got an email from her and it said, hey, I'd like to talk to you about this stuff. And so I immediately thought, this isn't, I'm not going to get what I want to hear back, because she's going to say something about, yeah, this collagen is really helping with shakiness. Okay. So hesitantly and reluctantly, I said, well, I got to hear it out. So I called her. And what she said was, hey, I'm not seeing any changes in the legs. And I thought, okay, because here's the thing about collagen. Like, it's not a quick fix. It's something that takes time to load into the body. It, in order for the body to actually use it, it needs to bring it into the body, store it, and then have enough that it can start to send it out to where it needs it. So when she told me that, I thought, okay, but what I said, well, then what did you want to talk about? And she said, and this, I'm probably skipping ahead here in the story, but she said, this dog had really heavy staining of tear ducts, white face and black staining from the from the tear ducts, brown. She said, I have to clean it constantly. I'm cleaning it twice a day. And she said, in the last week, I haven't had to even clean it. And so I thought, well, that's really interesting. I have no idea why. But I called the guys that were getting the collagen and krill made. I explained it to him. And he said, yeah, that makes sense. Not collagen. That's the krill. So krill is the other part of this. So there's a lot of collagen out there. I don't think there's a lot of type 2 native collagen. Most of them are these peptides, which are going to give you benefits similar to what I get benefits out of the omega-3 fish oil, which is the exterior stuff, skin, hair, and nails. But because we combined it with what I think is a pretty powerful product in itself, which is krill, we see a variety. And I think it's from a business standpoint, it's really important for me, because we have to tell a story. Like, this is not going to fix dogs' stuff quickly. The collagen is a slow thing. So when we sell it, we actually have, it's a 90 count chew. So we did put it into a chew that's easier to give to the dogs. It's 90 chews in a pouch. It's enough for a dog that's 50 pounds. So the dosage is 50 pounds and less gets one chew, 50 pounds and above 50 pounds gets two chews. I'm giving all of my dogs two chews to start out with. They all hover around that 50 pound mark. So I haven't had this for months. They ran out. They did not have samples for me anymore. And I absolutely noticed it in Taylor. She's become Grandma Taylor again. And so we're going to see when we put her back on it. I'm going to, in 30, 60, 90 days, I hope to see something different, but we will find out. But essentially what it is when I got it, I'm going to give each one of my dogs two a day, double the dosage, because I'm going to preload for probably the first month, and then I'll go back down to one a day. But what I have seen personally is different than what this gal saw, which is different than another buddy of mine who had a really old dog that he saw. He said, you know, boy, the life in the dog, I think it was a 10 or 11 year old dog, might have been even older, but he saw a lot of energy. He saw a lot of life. I gave it to a guy that had a dog that had to have a knee surgery, and I gave it to him with the idea of, I want to see how this dog heals. Now, that's a really tough one, because I don't know that there's a way to truly measure and say it did or it didn't heal better. The dog healed up pretty good. But it's the tough part about this product is there are some parts of it that you just can't see the return necessarily. And you certainly don't see it fast, and you certainly don't see it intense. But what I do think is interesting is with some of these older dogs, and I've got a few phone calls that I'm going to be making and talking with people. One of them is a friend of mine that hunted an 11-year-old dog this year on it, and I'm going to be very curious to hear his feedback. I don't expect it to be like mesmerizing. What I'm hoping, maybe it will be, but I don't know that that can be true. 11-year-old dog is an 11-year-old dog. But what I hope is that it was, the feedback I'm looking for is, you know what? I don't know that it was a lot worse or anything less than what it was the year before or the year before that. And to me, like, that's a big win to minimize the downward slope of some of these older dogs that are suffering from this aging type symptoms. So we'll find out. I'm going to dig into that. I'm going to share that with you. But what this, back to the idea of what the collagen does is, it's a different type of collagen that we're using that on the market right now. I don't know anybody. I have not found a product for dogs that's type 2 native. There might be some out there, but I have not found it. I've not found anything that's combining it with the krill. And the beauty of the krill is it has its own, and we're going to actually connect with the Norwegians on this because I want to learn more about it from them and I want to hear it from them firsthand. But the krill is, the nice part about adding the krill to this product is it allows us to get relatively quick effects, positive. It's a superfood. If you Google anything about krill, you'll find that they call it a super protein. It has really interesting effects, positive, in different for different reasons. And like over there, the Norwegians, they use it for people in a lot of situations. But what I think is it's got a thing in it called axoxanthin. And so this is something that another friend of mine that's a big time into studying the effects of dogs and supplements reached out to me right away and he said, hey, didn't I hear you say that you had krill in that mix of yours? And I said, yep. And so he had read some study about this axoxanthin. And again, a lot of this stuff is things that help fight inflammation. And so my story on the inflammation is this. You can talk about inflammation all you want, and I can talk about it all I want. But I didn't really understand what the hell it actually meant until recently when if you've seen me anytime recently, you'll know I'm walking around in a walking boot. I'm in 4 to 6 weeks, I'm in a walking boot. And I have a tear. I had a strain and then a tear develop in my Achilles. Happened late summer. The tear happened in September. I know exactly when it did. I was at a volleyball game. My daughter's ball went past. I went to be a hero and save it from going in the court. And it absolutely turned me white. I turned around. My wife said, what's the matter? And I went ghost white. And it hurt. And it was hot. And so I did not want to miss a hunting season. So I kind of just toughed it out. Now, it wasn't torn in half. It was not ruptured. It wasn't a tear that was so significant that I couldn't move or use it. I still could, which is maybe the worst part about it because it allowed me to have this false sense of security and I just kind of pushed it. Well, it's an overusage injury, and an overusage injury suffers from major inflammation. I took Advil like they were Skittles for a long time to get kind of through the pain, and I went through it until it got to the point where I just couldn't physically do it anymore. My Achilles heel tripled in width. It became very hard and it got really fat. And I knew it. I could see it. I don't like going to the doctors, which is very clear based on my historical records. And I put it off and I Googled it. I tried to figure out some stretching that I could do. None of that was going to work. It was not going to fix what I had. Finally, I went to the doctor, got some x-rays done. Bone parts of it looked good, but they said, you got to go see an orthopedic specialist. So I went to see an orthopedic specialist. He touched it. I screamed. He said, yeah, I know what you got here. So I've been in a walking boot. They gave me an anti-inflammatory. It's called, I got it in front of me. It's called Meloxicam. Heavy anti-inflammatory. I don't know if I'd call it heavy, but way better than Advil. And what it did was, in 24 hours, the second day I took this stuff, I was walking, like without a walking boot, because I didn't have the walking boot yet. And it reminded me of what life was like prior to this injury. And I thought, I can't believe I waited this long to do this. This is amazing. But what it was it was an anti-inflammatory medicine that absolutely targeted my pains. I also have some pain in my shoulder. When I went to the orthopedic specialist, I got that checked out, and I found out I tore my bicep. I know exactly when that happened. It was about 12 years ago. And it tore in my shoulder. And I can't fix that. It's been so long. There's nothing you can do about it. I could get steroid shots. I can do a surgery for it. But otherwise, it's you deal with it, and you kind of restrict your some of the things that you're doing, which is what I had been doing and forced to do. This anti-inflammatory helped that. I feel 100 times better. Now, this is not a pill that I can take indefinitely. Like it's to fight the inflammation where it's really, really aggravated, to allow it to start to heal. And then I put this boot on and I immobilize it and I make it so that it gives it a chance to heal. And I massage it and I got to do all PT and I got to do all this stuff. But my point with this is, if you, for the last 3 years, when I heard the doc, when I heard these guys, one of them is a doctor and the collagen krill, or the collagen guy is an actual doctor in veterinary stuff. But I heard people talk about this. It never made sense to me. So there's something about, like, you can tell me something. I just wrote this in an article. It's not my quote. I wish it were, but I picked it up from someone else who was an archer, but ended up, he said, you could tell me something 100 times and I will forget it. But if I feel it once, it'll be remembered forever. This is one of those cases. Tell me about inflammation and tell me about pains and aches and whatever, and I get it. That's just verbal. But feel it once. I get inflammation. I get the relief that comes from A, reducing it, and B, creating a more healthy lifestyle, which is stretching, which is working the muscles, but it's also giving me, so these products, this collagen and krill, this fish oil, more the collagen and krill when it comes to the inflammation stuff, is going to allow to be enhance what the body was designed and should do, but just runs out of energy, runs out of the resource. And so that I never realized when I watched Taylor, my old dog, become more active and look like she's happier, I recognize that's how I felt when I took that meloxicam and put my foot in a boot for a little while. And it's going on 4 weeks. And I'm going, this is actually going to make my life better. And I know that sounds silly to some people, but I'm not one to necessarily buy into modern medicine all the time. I'm not a hippie that just, you know, eats granola and thinks that kumbaya will save my life either. But I'm not quick to take pills. But I realized that that's not what this is. And so these little VitaFusions that I'm looking at, those aren't just pills to fix something that I've neglected. Those are ways for me to put the minerals, to put the stuff, to put the vitamins, to put the things that I'm not necessarily getting in my everyday diet into my body, to let my body do what it's supposed to do. That's what these chews are doing for my dogs. Now, it takes a while. It's not a quick fix. So that's the hard part. And that's the message that we're going to have to figure out how to share, is don't look at this as a, hey, my dog's got a bad joint, take this pill, it'll make it better. There's a shit ton of stuff out there that'll tell you that. I don't believe that the quick fixes are necessarily the reality most of the time. Now, the meloxicam was for me, but you can't take this forever. I can't take this forever. I need to change what's going on in my body. I need to do the PT. I need to do the, but I had to get it under control to allow it to start to heal. And then I got to take better care of it going forward, and not necessarily wait months once you have an injury to go get it addressed by a doctor. Don't wait 15 years to go see the doctor. Those are big lessons learned for me. But I can take what personally happened to me and I can relate almost everything in life to dogs. And this is where I see the total value in by us being able to, so that, and now you talk some function of it, it's a lot easier to give them a chewable once a day than it was for the scoops. So that's just logical. It's a 90-day supply, so it's essentially 3 months worth for most dogs. Well, how long does it take for collagen to collect into the body to be start seeing some results? 60 to 90 days. So the one bag is going to get you to that point. The krill in there is going to help with other stuff, which I hope is enough for most people to say, you know what, I'm going to get in the habit of giving it to them once a day for the next 90 days. I believe in it that strongly that if somebody uses it for an extended duration, now I don't think this is for every dog in every situation. A young dog doesn't necessarily need it. And in fact, I don't give it to my pups because I'm a big believer in letting the body do what the body does. And I think the body is a pretty amazing thing, humans and dogs. So these young dogs, I'm not screwing around with development of structure. I'm not going to put this necessarily into them. But my dogs that are 2 to 3 years old and fully developed, I am going to start supplementing it so that I don't necessarily wait to the point where they get to showing me adverse effects of maybe they aren't producing enough collagen to keep up with their body's demands. And we put a lot on our dogs. Our dogs have to be pretty rugged. And I'm assuming most of the people listening to this are in the same boat. You work your dogs. You put your dogs in some pretty strenuous things, more than the average dog, let's say. So I'm not going to wait until they deplete their own body's system and need the help. I'm going to start building it in immediately because I think there are multiple benefits over the long-term use that in the end are well worth the investment. And I, you know, pricing-wise, this isn't a cheap product. It costs what it costs, just like good food costs what it costs. And so, but it's what we are doing with it. We by the time you listen to this, it's probably live on our website. We're setting it up because I really want to have people get the benefits from it. And I also want, from a business standpoint, as many people to be able to try it, because that's that many more people to talk about it and share their success and share their stories. That's how we have built our company, is by testimonials of folks that have used our stuff and believe in it. And so it's retail, and we're not going to sell it at retail. We're going direct to consumer with it right now, which is going to help us out greatly when it comes to cost. But it's going to be a $69 item, $70 for a bag of 90 chews. So for most people, if your dog's 50 pounds or less, it's whatever the math is, it's less than a dollar a day. But if you go 50 pounds or more, it's half that. So it'd be a 45-day supply. But what we're doing is we're actually going to mark it down from $69.99 to $59.99 direct to consumer on our website. And then we're going to give you an opportunity to sign up for like an auto renewal, which is pretty, we do it with our fish oil as well. And it's pretty convenient. And I find that I do it with a few things on Chewy. I do it with a few things on Amazon. It just helps to not let me run out of stuff. But if you do an auto renewal, there's an extra $5 off. So it's down to $54.99. So now I feel like it's a really cost-effective way to ensure that I'm giving my dogs those Vitafusion vitamins that I'm taking. I mean, those things aren't free either. But I'm telling you right now, it's well worth it for me to feel like I'm taking care of myself the way I probably should. And I only wish that I probably had started that earlier. So it's kind of a long podcast. It's probably pretty boring, but it is, and it doesn't sound as exciting as I am excited about it. I do love the packaging. We put a lot of thought into that. I do love the product itself. I'm so excited to have it back and have my dogs go back on it because when I noticed the difference this last time, and it's been a couple months, it's been 6 months since I had my dogs on it. And I got pissed about it because I was upset that we can't get this thing finished quicker because A, it was frustrating as a business owner. It's just, that's a challenge, a supply thing that is frustrating. But we had to get through these initial hurdles, and that's something we did. But the second part of it was I was pissed as a dog owner because I went through this last fall and I watched my tailor. I watched Ellie for the first time at 9 years old start to show the reality. They get older. And when they get older, they can't quite do it. And you know what? I feel bad about them more than I do myself when I think, you know what? The same, they could say the same thing about me. Man, you are getting older. And I am. And it took me 44 years. It took me 43 because I'm 44 right now. It took me 43 years to realize I should and need to take better care of, because I only get one body. And I will say this, and I've had this conversation with some young men that I think an awful lot of, and they're ranging in ages from in their mid-30s down to their mid-20s, and even into, my son is 22, so like I talk with him about some of this stuff too. None of that stuff is going to mean anything to him until they first feel it. But the reality is when I was 22, when I was 25, when I was 35, this stuff didn't bother me, and I really thought I was pretty invincible. And I'm not. I wasn't then either, but I just didn't realize it. And now is when I'm starting to recognize it. So, guys, I appreciate you listening to this. Ben is going to turn this into a podcast episode. I don't know if we'll just leave it as a straight run podcast, probably. You're going to hear more about it because I have several people that I want them to share their stories, because theirs are unique to mine. They're different than mine. They've seen different effects. And me telling you mine is one example. But there's a lot of other examples that are reasons why I get as excited as I do about the product and believe in it as strongly as I do. And that's something that I'm really excited to be able to bring in and share to you. So thank you guys for listening to this podcast. I appreciate your support as always. If you do enjoy it and like it, and you think it brings value, if you'd leave us a review wherever you're listening. And the bigger thing I would ask of you is if you would share it with someone that you think it might be able to help as well. Ultimately, that's really our goal with our business. It's our goal with this podcast is help as many people as possible. So if you would, share it with someone you think it might help. And until our next one, I appreciate all your support, you guys. Thank you so much.